Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Cleavers Podcast, Wednesday, April 3rd. Welcome back to the show. Carter Elliott's here, Greg Waddell. Final 4 week, chugs along. Can't wait. A couple days until we hit the air to Phoenix. Should be fun. Looking forward to it. Carter, how you doing?
Hey, just call me Big Delta. Big Sky Miles, for those at home. I would like to start this episode by saying that I don't appreciate people commenting that you and I don't maintain 1,000% eye contact every time we do these podcasts. That's starting to get to me, okay? One, love Gregory. Love him like my three would, all right? I don't want to stare into this man's eyes for an hour and 20 minutes straight, even though he has very, very nice eyes that also change colors when the sunlight hits it a certain way. I got things going on my lap. Not like Zach Edey things going on in my lap, but I'm talking like I got, you know what I'm saying? I got the laptop up. I like to look things up. I like to do multiple screens going on. Like sometimes I got to respond to texts or something like that. I can't maintain 100% eye contact the whole time, y'all. I'm sorry. And I'm not distracted when I'm doing that because these two very small ears, and yes, they are small, hear pretty well. All right. And I'm always locked in. So stop telling me to not look down sometimes, okay?
Please never say I got things going on my lap again.
I said no Edie.
Just please never say that again. No Diddy. Also no Giddy.
Oh, Lord.
To the show. I'm like editing 90% of the time we do these. Sorry. Like we record other shit and then I edit it while we do these. So quite honestly, it's pretty impressive that you and I are capable of even looking at each other at all during these episodes, given how much is going on your lap and how much work I'm actually doing.
I don't like the tone. I don't like the tone of it.
That's correct. There's things going on my lap, okay? Meanwhile, I exported 3 transfer portal videos in the middle of this segment.
Look, man, check out Jake Davis.
Okay. Do you have a YouTube comment of the day?
God forbid that I come with, you know, stats, list, you know, background of whatever we're talking about.
Oh, when you come with things, what topics are we doing for this episode?
You're asking me to do like 4 things here, and you know that I'm not a multitasker like you, okay? So let me rock.
There's always 4 different things happening on your lap.
Why are you so concerned about my lap?
What's the YouTube comment of the day, man?
Okay, the YouTube comment of the day comes from Clean Cut Kennels. This guy sounds and looks like Mr. Beast. Okay, do you want to address the Mr. Beast, like, allegations? Like, everyone always says that, and whatever we're on. Who's Mr. Beast?
Don't do that.
Who is Mr. Beast?
Do you actually not know who Mr. Beast is?
No.
Mr. Beast is the greatest YouTuber who has ever lived.
Really?
Yeah. He's also not someone I would categorize as traditionally handsome. So I have the skin tone of Mr. Beast. I think I have the hair color of Mr. Beast. I might have the voice of Mr. Beast. I don't know. I'm going to take it as praise that you're comparing me to such a successful YouTuber, philanthropist, candy bar aficionado, pioneer. He does great work, great content. I don't believe personally in my heart that I look like Mr. Beast.
Okay, I'm going to have to look up some pictures of Mr. Beast. I'm getting a real kick out of we got the same skin tone. Like, you're both white? Is that what it is?
No, there's levels to white. Let's be honest. Like, you're white.
Relax.
You're also black.
Oh, I thought you were talking about, like, there's levels to, like, what, like, there's, like, blind you white. There's, like...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, there are levels
to, like, is white. He Italian white? There's different levels.
They're absolutely.
Okay.
I am very far on one spectrum of white to not white.
Got you. Can I add a bonus comment? Actually, why am I asking you? I'm gonna. This one comes from Log Dot. I know it's your show and you can do what you want, but just a suggestion, hoping to provide some constructive feedback as I've had the same advice with my own podcast. Consider putting the comment section at the end of the video, not the start. People click on your videos for basketball contact and for camaraderie, and your camaraderie is an added bonus. People may be tempted to click away when they listen to over half an hour of comments without much structured discussion. Sometimes I find myself skipping ahead to get to other segments, but if the comments were at the end of the video, I'm sure I would watch the whole thing. Any comments in that regard?
Yeah, I disagree wholeheartedly. I appreciate that. Criticism received, submitted, reviewed, declined. You are speaking for yourself, and I respect that that is your interest. I think you are lying, commenter. Lovely commenter. I think you are lying if you say that if we moved the portion you want to skip to the end, that you would listen to it. So you're annoyed that you want to skip it, but if we put it at the end, you would listen to it. No, you wouldn't. You want to skip it. So why don't we just be a little more honest about that? You just want to skip it. Now, the nice thing about you wanting to skip it is that as a content creator / producer / showrunner / idea man, I actually clip all of the basketball segments every single day and run them separately on the YouTube channel. So you could actually just watch those and not watch the full episode, and you can ignore the comments. But just because you or one person comes to the show looking to skip the comments and only wants the basketball, we have also received feedback from people that say they come to the show for the comments and they like it. And the entire purpose of the comments being such a big part of the show, by the way, is because we are catering everything we do as creators to the community that supports us. And with all due respect, people in the YouTube comments that we don't know are not the people who support us. The people who support the show are the people that pay to be part of the Sleepers Discord. The 277 people, by the way, who are paid supporters of this show that we work so hard on every day. I work for them. I do what they want. And the very first part of the show every day is going to be engaging and talking to them and answering their questions and their comments, not serving YouTube people who have five different ways they could skip the comments if they want to and still watch the show. I don't think that was necessary. Thank you for the comment, though.
Felt good.
Should we get to the show?
Yeah.
Should we? Are we allowed to do the Discord?
We're allowed to do anything because whose show is it?
You're right. What's on your lap right now?
My laptop, but also like there's a noise coming from something that I don't know where, and it doesn't sound good. It's not an electrical issue, so that's a plus. But you never want to hear a noise you never heard before because you don't know what it is.
Can you make a noise that you've never heard before for me real quick?
You're in shape.
That's ridiculous.
I was talking about that's something that's never been said to me.
That's ridiculous, man. Okay, to the Discord comments. Join the Discord. Link in the description of this video. It's $9.99 a month if you sign up on a desktop or a laptop, or you can also just use an internet browser on your phone. $9.99 a month. If you try to do the Discord app on your phone, they jack up the price with some fees. Don't do that. $9.99 a month, that money goes directly to us. So we can do things like run cool bracket contests, pay people out some rewards, and have fun. Have fun talking college basketball. Regress starts us off today. Says, is Matt Painter the perfect counter to Hurley? Hurley watching all of Matt's press, just waiting to find something to motivate his team with. Matt, oh, just a swell team, extraordinarily gifted and immaculately coached.
Hurley's going to find something. Why are we swell? Only just swell? Why aren't we amazing? He's going to find something.
I think Matt Painter 5 years ago was the perfect counter to Hurley. I think Matt Painter this year has some shit to him and has had shit to him at every single press conference he's done since the beginning of the year. And I would argue it's part of what's gotten Purdue over the hump.
Ah, I'm with you. Greg, you read this next comment. I'm just going to go make sure I'm safe.
Okay, I'm very concerned for Carter right now. Luckily for him, I'm scrolling down trying to find our next comment. A lot of people not tagging us in these comments. That's tough. Rowlett, Texas Boiler says, while the college game still has some good center play, it has, like the NBA, become more guard-oriented. Do you think the center-oriented game could come back, or is it destined to become phased out? I don't know that it has become more guard-oriented. I think that's a narrative media like to push and fans like to say, but like, you look at the teams that are still playing, they're not overly guard-oriented. I mean, Braden Smith and DJ Horn are good players. Tristan Newton's a good player, but the best player on UConn, the best player on NC State, the best player on Purdue are all traditional centers, like traditional back-to-the-basket centers. So, no, I think bigs are always going to be a big part of what makes good college basketball teams good. Everything okay, Cart?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. Just classic furnace, just making some noise I never heard before, but it's fine. We're good.
Good. Love to see that adversity. J-Rod says, just watch the Purdue recap. Very excited and happy for you all to be doing a show at the Final Four. It's a result of your hard work. Your show preview recaps are definitely a part of my daily listen. Congrats again and well-deserved. Thank you, J-Rod. Yeah, we appreciate that. We still, we're waiting for some graphic work from our friends at Bleacher Report to be done before we can formally announce what, is happening at the Final Four. You can go listen to the Purdue recap from yesterday if you want the full details. With that said, we do have a little horrible Photoshop edit ready to go that announces who we're working with at the Final Four that makes me laugh every time I see it.
It's not that horrible. It's also my phone background.
That's great. Tristan Freeman says, for Greg, there are rumors that Haley Van Lith sold to make sure that Iowa beat LSU on Monday. As a Caucasian, do you have any comment? It was a tough night for Haley. It really was. As a Caucasian, do you have any comment? It's crazy, though. I kind of wish any comment directed toward me for the rest of time would use that terminology.
The thing that warmed my heart truly is that you could tell the advancement of women's basketball is reaching a point that's extremely large and healthy when the slander is just all over the timeline. Like, that's like... like, you know how NBA Twitter operates and they just like slander players. Like, I saw that type of slander and hate going on the timeline about women's basketball. And that's like, oh, yeah, it's here. It's really here. It's when once you get the hate and slander involved, that's when you know you made it.
Yeah, we were treating Haley Van Lith like J.R. Smith last night and it worked out. Burner says, really looking forward to another episode, guys. I've been really down in the dumps because my favorite sport is dead, like really down. Can you please save me? Can you save Burner, Carter?
No, I can't save you, Burner. You got to save yourself, brother. And I hope you do.
Jay Hart says, why is there this weird kind of assumption from a lot of people that this DJ Burn Zach Edey matchup will be so competitive and even? Is there not a much bigger chance Edey dominates? I know Burns has been really good, but he's nowhere near Edey and definitely cannot guard him.
Has anybody actually said that?
I'm sure there are circles. Nobody smart that I talk to has alluded to the fact that this will be close to an even matchup.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's actually the worst possible matchup for DJ Burns. More on that later this week. Zach Edey is probably going to devour him. I'm not going to read this person's username. I think this is Jesse originally, but he's now quoting what Zach Edey said in the Lance Jones video and then Boiler Up at the end. Says 100 prediction points from Purdue Nation to Greg for playing Nostradamus to Zach Edey. Additionally, you guys need to revisit the asterisk tourney preseason predictions. Greg's Final Four wasn't far off, basically just UConn instead of Creighton.
Who's Nostradamus?
The greatest prognosticator in the history of mankind.
I thought that Nostradamus was the gargoyle from that Disney movie.
Are you talking about the Hunchback of Notre Dame?
Yeah, but what's the gargoyle's name in that? Or like the dude with the hunchback in that movie? I'm pretty sure his name is Nostradamus.
I don't think that's true, but I also don't know that for a fact. Could you use one of the many things on your lap to find that out for us?
Yeah, Hunchback from Notre. Is that the name of the actual movie?
The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah. What's the actual Hunchback's? That's from 1996.
I think his name is just the Hunchback.
No. Oh, his name's Quasimodo. Sorry, not Nostradamus. I got that confused. Mm.
I feel like we need to unpack why you would be confusing Quasimodo with Nostradamus.
You don't find similarities to that?
No, I don't. Zach Wilson's Blicky says, so my coworker usually has an in with Purdue sports happenings. I try not to believe him, but he's firing at like an 85% clip on what he tells me. The rumor mill latest is that Caleb First is considering retiring and going back to going into medical school. And Will Berg is highly considering leaving Purdue and going back to Europe to play. I guess I just want to know if anyone is hearing anything close to this. Are you hearing anything close to Caleb First to medical school and Will Berg to Europe?
No, I have no inner workings within Purdue basketball, unfortunately.
I am hearing a lot on the Caleb First rumor mill train, but that is coming entirely from Purdue fans. And I just want to go on record. I think it's insane delusion to believe that Caleb First, who started for your team last year and was a top 100 recruit and is still a very good basketball player. He just doesn't play because y'all are the second best team in the country or the best team in the country. And he's coming off a Final Four ring. It's insane to me to think he would just quit on his basketball career because Purdue oversigned. Matt Painter brought one too many three-star freshmen in. So Caleb First doesn't want to play basketball anymore. Like, huh? Like,
I'll also be running with the Matt Painter ruin Caleb First agenda if this occurs.
Yeah, I don't get it. It would be a really sad end to a good basketball player, his story, his basketball playing career, if that's what happened. And listen, there are ways for Purdue to get a scholarship open that do not come at the expense of one of the highest rated players out of high school that's on the roster that still has time. Like, Caleb First could be good next year.
Yeah, also a lot of other medical schools across the country too.
That's the thing. It feels like fan fiction to be like, oh, Caleb First wants to be a Boilermaker so bad with a degree that he would just stop playing basketball because we oversigned our class. Like,
it's Michigan State's medical school.
Maybe if that happens, I'm going to have to give everybody credit. I would be stunned if that happened. Painter's Petting Zoo says, having a full week to prepare for more March games is a new feeling as a Purdue fan, and to prepare for more after the second weekend is new to Painter. How much time do you think the Purdue team will dedicate to film preparation for NC State versus for UConn this week? Painter has clearly shown he respects every opponent he faces, but at the same time, he's got to know UConn is the team demanding more attention.
So it's always interesting to me because at least the staffs that I know and interacted with, it's like you have a certain amount of assistants, right? And in the tournament, you have a assistant do a scout for every possible team that you could play because you don't know who it's going to be. So if I had to say, I think it's going to be like a 50-50. I think maybe like PJ Thompson might have the scout for UConn and then another assistant will have the scout for NC State. But I think it'll be like a 50-50 thing probably. They're definitely going to have to do both because if they do win against NC State, the turnaround will be obviously one day.
Can I say what I would do?
Sure.
80% UConn, 20% NC State.
Yeah. Also don't think NC State's that hard to scout.
No. Spend Tuesday on NC State. Go ahead and spend Wednesday, Thursday, Friday on UConn. To me, look, you got to respect the opponent. Yeah, for sure. You just saw a game where Matt Painter had a horrible game plan and you still won while making 3 of 23s against a team way better than NC State. So to me, I think you can have a horrible game plan and beat NC State pretty comfortably here. You cannot beat UConn without the perfect game plan. Can't do it. So if God forbid lack of preparation is what costs you against NC State, I can live with that. So be it. Prepare for UConn. That's a team that I don't think without a 100 out of 100 time you're going to beat. That's what I would do. Painter is probably a lot smarter than me, so he's definitely a lot smarter than me. He won't do that. Travis Nelson says, how do you guys walk the fine line between being honest and calling out players and coaches for bad performances, but also hoping to be in good graces with them and have them on as guests or allies?
At least for me, I feel like one, we just got to be ourselves and tell the truth. Like, that's kind of how we operate and how we always operated. And if that ruins things, that like sucks. Because I feel like what one thing we do is we never like make it personal in any regards. Like it's always basketball. It's never a disrespect thing, in my opinion. And I think that many coaches or players would even respect it. And we've had players actually reach out to us before and be like, you know, why'd you say this? Or like, why are you talking about me like this? And we'll straight up say like, you know, why we said it, explain our reasoning. And they take it as it is. And honestly, most have like respected it. And maybe we had some back and forth, but like at the end of the day, it's never personal. It's never like a personal out to get anybody disrespect. And you can't just come on here just all rainbows and glitter and flowers all the time. Sometimes you got to call it like it is. And there's not a lot of places I think you can go that call it like it is. So I think it's what makes us.
Yeah, remember when Paul Mulcahy texted you this summer?
Yeah, I was so hyped, man. I was so hyped. I thought like, because I love Paul Mulcahy. I was like, hell yeah. Like, Paul Mulcahy wants to chop it up with me. He did not want to chop it up. He was not happy with me.
Yeah, we talked it through. You got to a good place by the end. With that said, I also think I've come to accept that like a guy like Tom Izzo is not ever going to be an ally of this show or of me. And that's...
Wait, what?
Well, like... There are certain, like, because we, when we say, like, you know, we are going to be honestly critical, right? And I think when it comes to our own programs, like this year, God forbid, if they would have kept Juwan Howard and he turned things around, I was never going to get any access to Juwan Howard. And I was okay with that. I could live with that as the season went on. And I think through the years, certainly things I have said, and I think when you've kept it honest with Michigan State as well, has probably made us not exactly the most Spartan-friendly outlet for Michigan State's players and coaches to want to interact with. But again, at the end of the day, it's about honesty, and I think people can respect that even within the program because there are members, family members of Michigan State's program that have heard the way we talk about recruits and players through the years that really do respect us and keep a good relationship and It always comes back to the fact that we keep it real. So I can live with that, even if that alienates us from certain people. Kai Googe, I don't know. I think this is a new member. First off, welcome. Says, happy to be here finally, getting a job again. And first thing I did was subscribe to the boys.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This makes my day every day with a heart. Wow. Thank you, Kai Googe. We appreciate you. Quick question. If Purdue does win it all, what other unhinged comments do you think we will get from Edie? Great question.
Honestly, we might get a generational just outpouring of everything he's held in these last 2 years. Like the Final Four thing, that was just a little precursor, a little appetizer. That's just like the hors d'oeuvres that came around before the wedding. There's probably another course if they win it all.
I think we might get a they're just little. I think that's what we might get. Like
that'd be generational.
If he hits the podium after beating UConn and they're like, Zach, you had your way with Donovan Klingon tonight. What happened? He's like, well, he's just little.
I mean, they're just small. That's what I should do.
That would be so iconic. I think it could happen. Kevin Freeman, Unsung Goat, says, what's the best game you have ever been to? By that, I mean the game that impacted you the most as a fan or of a team or of the sport. Mine is a tie between the 1999 UConn-Stanford game at Stanford where we won despite Rip Hamilton being out with injury and also last year's Final Four. Do you have one that influenced you as a fan?
Oh, man. I don't know. The only reason this doesn't count is because I didn't actually get to go to the game, unfortunately. But just the Final Four that was in Detroit for Michigan State, like just that experience, that whole week, just being like down there and everything that was going on around that, like really, really enhanced my love for college basketball and Michigan State. But actually going to my first Final Four game, and the first one was the Coach K like retirement tour, like the Caleb Love shot. Like that was my first Final Four game. Like that's just something I'll never forget.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy night to be there too. Like that was, I mean, I was on the credentialed side of that one and I just kept pacing. Like, how am I here? This is insane to me. Yeah, my cover your ears, Michigan State fans. This is going to give you ammo to, again, confirm that I am the worst Michigan State graduate ever. But the game that reinforced my Michigan fandom more than any other was my freshman year at Michigan State. Put yourself in my shoes of I'm having the identity crisis of like, holy shit, I'm a student at Michigan State. I love it here. I chose to go here over Michigan because I like the people on my visit more. I am happy. I should be a Michigan State fan. Why is my heart telling me I'm not a Michigan State fan? I should be a Michigan State fan. I had successfully done it with football that year. We had like the Le'Veon Bell hurdle, Kirk Cousins, the Hail Marys. It was awesome. And now I get to basketball season. And I'm an Izzo member. So excited for this. This will be what does it. I'll just get one foot in that Izzo and everything will change. I'll be a Michigan State fan. And it was going okay. It really was. Like through a couple weeks of the season, I was like, this is fun. This team's awesome. Okay, I can do this. Meanwhile, Michigan's best team since I had been alive was cooking undefeated behind the scenes. The Trey Burke, Nick Stauskas freshman season. So I'm like watching that from my dorm room. Like, oh yeah, they're good. It's okay. I can do this. I can be a Michigan State fan. Then in walks Nick Stauskas to the Breslin Center. Okay. And this would have actually been his sophomore year. So it was after them because Michigan State boat raced him the first year. And I didn't go to that game because I was scared of if I would be able to handle it or not. His sophomore year, he comes back. And now I'm still like, I don't know what's going on. And, I mean, he hit daggers in Gary Harris's face and then turned to the Izzo. I swear he looked directly at me and blew me a kiss.
Were you in the Izzo for that game?
Carter, I was in the Izzo. And Nick Stauskas, Nick Stauskas looked at me. He looked at me. It's as if Nick Stauskas knew that I was in green and white, but I was a Michigan fan, and he blew me a kiss. That was the moment that was like, oh yeah, I'm a Michigan fan. There's no way.
So how did you even operate during that game? Like, were you just silently cheering on the inside when Michigan was cooking? Like, how'd you operate?
It was a weird time of life, man. It's like, you know how some people experiment with their sexuality? I was experimenting with my fandoms. And I didn't know. I was like, oh, I'll figure this out as we go. And then Nick Stauskas blew me a kiss and hit a step back three to win the game. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know. That's what I am.
So like exploring your sexuality, Nick Stauskas blowing you a kiss helped you explore your fandom.
Correct. No, it confirmed my fandom.
Confirmed your fandom. Got correct. It.
Yes. Got it. Yep. Great question. Thank you. Jew Bowie says, obviously Northwestern is limited with recruiting, but I've heard that our NIL bag has gotten pretty large recently. Hearing Boo Bowie makes $500,000 plus, not millions, but I wonder if maybe they'll be able to get some Ivy bag chasers.
You know what? According to Guy, you guys might have the best team in the Big Ten next season. So head up, Jew Bowie.
Yeah, listen, I don't mean to discredit anything Jew Bowie is saying. I do believe that Northwestern did a great job funding Boo Booey's return. With that said, there's nothing unique about Northwestern's NIL offering that makes it competitive. There are a bazillion schools that have Northwestern-level funds to work with immediately that don't need to be fundraised the way they were at Northwestern. So I will continue to be surprised if they were to pull in a player like Danny Wolf or a Xavier Lee or any of these other guys that are rumored to be interested in Northwestern. Boomfizzle79 says, you've made a couple references to Kansas next year in terms of roster and mentioned Dickinson a lot. Do you think he definitely comes back?
I do. I don't understand why he would not. I think he makes more money at Kansas than he would in the NBA. If he sticks in the NBA, I don't see why he would not.
Yeah, nothing would surprise me with Hunter because it's Hunter. With that said, him portaling last year made sense because he was leaving a bad situation for the best situation with the best money. You're not going to leave the best money, even if the situation doesn't feel great, for something else. And to be honest, I think the situation looks better next year already with Riley Kugel.
I'd also like to point something out. There are places that can outbid Kansas.
Where?
I don't know, but there's got to be someone who can.
There's not. I don't know where this is coming from for you. Bill Self has the deepest pockets in the game and always will.
Always? Okay.
Always. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be fun if Hunter portaled again?
I mean, it would be incredible content. If I'm Hunter, I would portal anyway, just to go back to Kansas. But I am not Hunter Dickinson. I don't know if people know that or not. Not. Jesse's back, and he has a video of Pat Forty that says this is the kind of coverage that needs to be mentioned more often. Unfortunately, this story interviewing refs on officiating Edie was in print. Most of these haters from other fan bases won't read anything. We just can't play that on the show. If I play it right now, it would be a horrible listen. So sorry, Jesse. Thanks for sending it. But I don't know what's said in that clip, and we can't play it on the show. Card, any thoughts?
Yeah, I'm also not watching that either, Jesse.
So we are exactly the wrong people that Jesse's talking about.
Just straight up.
middle name Mateen 3.0, JFJ season, says, sorry for the long message, but it needs to be said. It's time I came forward for ruining Michigan State's basketball program. My dad went to Purdue, so I grew up a Purdue fan. Here's a list of things I witnessed as a fan. Hummel tearing his ACL right before the tournament. Preseason number one until Hummel tears his ACL again. Losing to Chris Beard in Little Rock, Arkansas. Haas breaks his elbow, lose to Chris Beard again. Witness Ron Harper Jr. hit a half-court game winner and court storming in person. The only Elite Eight I saw as a fan was a heartbreaking loss to Virginia. In 2019, I went to Michigan State. It took a few years of losing to double-digit seeds, but my curse on Purdue has finally worn off, and they are in the Final Four after I am no longer a fan. Michigan State was one of the best basketball programs since I was born. But then I went there, and the first year everyone was picking MSU to make a deep run, the tournament got canceled. Ever since, Izzo has probably had his worst 4 years, nothing but a downward trajectory. The same thing happened with Michigan State football, with the lone exception of the Kenneth Walker anomaly year. I would like to issue a formal apology to all Michigan State fans for ruining their school. I am sorry for causing all of those what happened to the sport I loved. Pictures of Cassius, Draymond, and Denzel. P.S. I am taking DMs. For the right price, I will become a fan of your least favorite team for a game to ruin their program as well.
For the love of God, leave our program, man. That is a tough track record.
So the hardest part of this is Jesse immediately responded to it and said, this is what happens to traitors who don't stay the course. That's brutal. That's brutal. I respect it. You got to experiment with your fandoms. I'm sorry you've gone through so much pain, though.
Also, one quick thing here. Yes, a lot of those things happened to Purdue. Let's not act like those years were just absolutely so painful, okay? Y'all don't really know pain, okay? Like, what is their pain? In their painful years, they're winning Big Tens. Like,
no, they had some bad years. Okay, I mean, it's been 20 years of pain.
They did, but like, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm a Lions fan. Like, y'all don't actually know pain. Y'all think you know pain. You don't really know.
That's fair. I think the Hummel was real pain because, like, you know how y'all think Cassius Winston not being able to play a tournament that no other player in the country was able to play a tournament is, like, real pain? Like, Robbie Hummel, they were, like, the best team in the country, and then he just got hurt and it killed it. Like, that's real pain, right?
Yeah, could have made the Hummel analogy without our analogy, but yes.
Well, I'm just – if there's levels to pain, you feel a lot of pain. I've felt a lot of pain. They can feel pain, too.
Yeah, who am I to pain watch, right?
We're a pro pain podcast, I think.
I love pain.
That's the comment section. Thank you to everybody in the Discord. Join the Discord, link in the description. Carter, you know who else loves pain?
Kenny?
Our friends at MyBookie. MyBookie loves pain as much as we do. That's why they offer a bunch of things that you can bet on and potentially lose and experience pain with. But more importantly, you can win, because that's what we do at MyBookie. We try to win our bets. We've done a damn good job because they've got expert picks, expert predictions. They've got player props, futures, whatever you could possibly look for in a sports book. MyBookie can offer it. Carter, you love MyBookie. Tell the people where they can go to MyBookie.
Well, what you can do, once you get to MyBookie, you need to use the first-time instant deposit bonus that we have up to $1,000. All you have to do is enter promo code SLEEPERS to take advantage of that and release your pain by winning money with MyBookie. They have everything you need, the official sportsbook of Sleepers Media. Wouldn't use any other one. Go ahead and tap in. Use that first-time deposit bonus. That is promo code SLEEPERS for a first deposit bonus up to $1,000. Enjoy the madness.
Wow. Great read from you. How much was on your lap while you did that read?
AJ? I've had the same thing on my lap this whole time.
What's on your lap?
This MacBook.
Should What's on Your Lap be a new segment?
It's going to be the same thing every day, probably, though. That's the thing.
I'm a little worried about you. You haven't done your bits in a while.
You know, bits are all good when, like, life is joyous and things are going well. But, like, what's the point of a bit, really, when you just wake up every day in pain?
Yeah, I am really worried about you. I'm going to have to call your wife after this. Let's get to the show. Speaking of pain, this is something that would cause many of our listeners pain.
What are you looking at right now?
We're not gonna do a What's On My Lap segment. We're going to do a What's On My Tab segment. And what's on my tab currently is Ty Robinson, who was a hard commit to Florida Atlantic, but just recently reopened his commitment. So there you go. There's your What's On My Tab for today.
That's a great segue into one of our topics today. You just changed the order up on me on the fly, and I love that. Let's talk about the Florida Atlantic roster that there seems to be in flux. About a week ago, John Jakus, my op, my enemy, John Jakus, looked a camera in the eyes. He looked a room full of people, a room full of tan, tightly polo-shirted men, and said, guess what? I just asked these players to give me a chance. That's what he said. And that's a cute little story. That's a cute little sentence. I bet your wife heard you say that 25 times in the mirror at home over the weekend. I bet you felt real good about that one in the shower as you were wiping off the stench of your time of postseason failures at Baylor the last couple years on your way to Florida Atlantic. I bet you thought that was going to work. And worst of all, I bet you thought it did work, Jakus. I know you did think it did work, Jakus. I'm talking to you now, Jakus. Hold your horses, Carter. Jakus, I'm talking to you. I'm not through with you. You did think it worked. You did. Because you got a reaction, Jakus. You got that room full of tightly polo-shirted tan people to stand. They stood out of their chairs and they applauded you, Jakus. That's what they did. They applauded you, Jakus. What did they applaud you for, Jakus? What did they really applaud you for? Because you told them, none of these players are in the portal. You said, quote, I don't know if you've noticed yet, but none of them are in the portal. Mind you, this was less than 12 hours after you had met all of these players before your introductory press conference. So congratulations, Jakus. Congratulations. And now in your honor, I will play the world's smallest, silentest violin for the fact that Vlad Golden, Giancarlo Rosato, Nick Boyd have all entered the portal, and now the incoming recruits that Carter just alluded to are also decommitting from your program. Keep an eye on John L. Davis and Elijah Martin in the coming days, Jakus. I'm sure they're still excited about this with the rest of their rotation all leaving. And here's your violin.
I have a tune to go along with that. John Jakus, Jinkelhammer Smith, his name is my name too. Whenever we go out, the people always shout, there goes John Jakus Jinkelhammer. John Jakus is a national champion. Respect that man.
Was he on staff there?
Yeah.
Doesn't look like it.
Yeah, national champion.
Yeah, he doesn't carry himself like a champion.
I think he kind of does because he did a great job of lying while technically not lying.
The thing is, he didn't do a good job lying. Like
he did. He said no one's in the portal. That was a fact.
So that's not a lie then. You can't do a good job lying if you said a fact. Like that's, he just presented facts as if they were impressive and they weren't impressive. No shit, they're not in the portal. Like your own school has to help them file paperwork to get in the portal and they just shook your hand 10 seconds ago. Like what are we doing here?
I hate that you're beefing with Jakus.
The thing is, I'm not even beefing with Jakus. I'm dancing circles around him. This man's in hell. I say jump, he says how high. I'm pulling the strings with Jakus right now. Okay, that's not what we came here to talk about. I just wanted to get my bars off at Jakus's expense. You are still my primary op right now, Jakus. Let's not forget that. All jokes aside, you are my op, and I'm winning. Are these guys going to end up at Michigan? You and I did a long Dusty May thing a while ago. They got combative. We've had some comments since asking us to actually have a refreshed conversation about Dusty May that's a little less combative. So maybe we can use this time to do that. Nick Boyd, Giancarlo Rosato are in the portal. Vlad Golden has entered the portal and then now said he's entering the draft with the option to return to FAU, and you would assume explore other options as well. And then per Davis Mosley, John L. Davis and Elijah Martin are expected to enter the portal in the next 48 hours. How many of these guys do Michigan get? What's the over-under?
I think they get three guys. I think they get Davis, I think they get Golden, and I think they get Boyd. I don't know why you would want Rosado, to be honest with you, and I'm a Rosado guy. I don't know why you would want him.
Are you a Rosado guy?
Yeah, I loved Rosado at the Final Four. I did last year. Like you know I got an affinity for guys that are shaped like me. Rosado falls in that category. I still of a firm believer that John L. Davis and Elijah Martin don't like each other or want to play without each other. I believe that in my heart of hearts. So I would put it at three guys you get. And if I rank the three guys, like as far as like probability of getting them, I'd probably put, I would have put Vlad one automatically before, but like now we've got the chatter that like, you know, maybe Danny Wolf is the guy that they want to get. And does Danny Wolf want to play with Golden? Does Golden want to play with Danny Wolf? That complicates things a little bit for me. So I put John L. Davis as one. I think, one, that should be the first option. Like, that's the one you want to secure out of everybody. I also think it's just the most likely. A glaring spot open for him. He's a dusty guy. And, you know, that's a seamless transition, in my opinion. And that's what you want. Get, lock down the best player. Golden would be second, and then Boyd would be third. And I think those are the three guys that are coming.
Okay. I agree with you. If I had to pick the names out of a hat right now, who comes to Michigan, who doesn't? I think Nick Boyd is almost a guarantee. I think Vlad Golden, if he plays in college, it will be for Dusty May. That's my read. I think John L. Davis is the least likely of those three. But I would still say likely. I would.
Why do you say the least likely, though?
Because I think John L. has the best suitors. Like, he would have the best options. And you never know. Like, when you enter the portal, you never know what's going to happen. What we do believe from behind the scenes here, what we believe to be true, this started as speculation from you and I, and now we're kind of hearing maybe there is some truth to it. We believe that Elijah Martin and John L. Davis may not want to play together. Now, again, speculation. But what I am hearing is that Elijah Martin would like to be a featured first option. Doesn't want to sit and ride John L. Davis's coattails. John L. was the much better player this year. So to me, that presents you with some weird things you have to answer as a head coach, right? Like, are you, if you're Dusty May, are you trying to get both of them? Are you understanding that trying to get both of them might cost you both of them? Are you reading it correctly and saying, hey, John L., you're our guy? And then you still got to win John L. Is John L. less likely naturally than, like, could you get Elijah if you just wanted Elijah instead of John L.? And at that point, would it be worth it to even try for John L. or should you just take Elijah? There's a lot of complicated questions. This is why Dusty May is paid the money to figure this out. But there aren't those questions with Golden. Golden is like, is he going to come back to college or not? Nick Boyd, I think, I don't see why he wouldn't end up in Michigan. To me, that's the best option he'll have. My interpretation of what Dusty May will do with John L. and with Martin is prioritize John L. And if he prioritizes John L., I think there's a good chance he lands him, but you're still going to have to win him and pay him more than he would get from other big name schools that would certainly be interested in John L. Davis. So to me, you're not getting both. I don't think you're getting Davis and Martin. I would put it at about a 50 to 60% chance you get John L. And I would put it much lower at all that you get Martin. The last guy is Rosado. I will just disagree with you on this. I think you would want him from a program building standpoint. Like, even if he's not a rotation player at all, you're taking one of the worst locker rooms in college basketball history that only has two returning players on it. Anybody you can bring with you that was a part of a winner at Florida Atlantic matters. So I like bring the ball boys. I don't care.
I personally think Cheddar is better than Rosado.
Yeah, he probably is. I don't care. I'm talking, I want a practice player that knows Dusty's system more than I want someone who's going to be on the court. Like,
didn't me and you have a conversation about like Rosado was part of the issues this year at FAU?
I don't know enough about Rosado to be honest with you. And I'm not, listen, I'm not running through a wall saying I want him. I'm saying if Rosado would come, he's a take instantly. Because you, to me, you take anybody you can from Florida Atlantic. All of them.
Oh, just take the team.
Like, I want the recruits. I want the team. I want an infrastructure. Because you're not going to get all of them. But if instead of building a roster from zero, like if I could have six guys from Florida Atlantic and then need to fill in seven, that feels very good to me.
But what if you can get better guys than the six than the guys from FAU? Because the thing is, like, the Golden John L thing, that's like, yeah, like,
yeah.
I don't think Michigan's going to get better guys than those guys.
Yeah.
Or they could. But I'm saying just less likely.
Yeah. You don't
There's
need
probably better players that Michigan can get than a Rosado, or even like looking at the recruit, like Ty Robinson is the recruit that reopened his recruitment, 3-star unranked kid. It was between Central Arkansas and Florida Atlantic. Like, could they get a better guy? Like, is Connor Asijan better than Ty Robinson? Do they get both of them? Do they go out and get a better? That's basically what I'm saying. Like, I understand you want to get FAU guys because, like, they know Dusty system, they're Dusty guys, but you also got to, in my opinion, do like a little 50-50 because I think you can get better guys.
There's 13 spots. Like, I'm talking take Cheddar spot. Like, I'm not talking start at the four. If you believe the rumors, like, Michigan is prioritizing the very good players as well. They legitimately need 13 guys. Like, unless they're letting Will Cheddar come back. And unless
I was going to say, do we know who, like, do we have any idea who's?
Yeah, it's Namari Burnett is rumored to want back, and I would assume Dusty May would take him. Good player. Probably would come off the bench. He started last year. You take that. Cheddar is up in the air. There's a lot of rumors he would want back. He's basically set to graduate at Michigan. I don't see why not. And then the third awkward one is Jace. Jace hasn't entered the portal, and he's sitting there. And then the only other guy is Fat. He's the only incoming freshman that didn't decommit. So even
what about T. Will?
T. Will's in the portal, or will
be
in the portal.
Is he in officially?
He will be.
Okay.
T. Will is not expected to return. Terrace Reed and Doug are gone. Yeah. So the most biggest number you would return is four guys. One of them being a freshman who didn't play. One of them being Will Cheddar. One of them being Jace. Like, even if that happens, you still need nine guys. And no disrespect to Jace and Will Cheddar, I would like some new program blood. Will Cheddar and Jace thought they were the leaders of this Michigan era, which is a joke. So I need guys who will come in who just are Dusty guys. I need as many Dusty guys as I can. Get rid of as many Juwan guys as you can. Give me as many Dusty guys as you can. I'm not worried about impact players. Those impact players don't need to come from Florida Atlantic right now. Vlad Golden is one. John L. Davis is one. We can get four more Nick Boyds before we have to get a Danny Wolf or a Liam McNeely. And again, there are rumors Michigan is trying to land both those guys. There are rumors Michigan's trying to land Connor Asijan. There's rumors Michigan's trying to land Dante Maddox. By all accounts, Dusty is working on impact players as well. I just want a baseline. I want the biggest baseline I can get of Florida Atlantic, and then we'll go from there. Because it's harder to get nine guys than it is to get six.
Gotcha. So how many FAU? So the total FAU guys in a portal right now is four. Four or five?
Three, because Martin and John L. aren't in the portal yet.
Okay. Those guys are going in. So
I would think so. It'll get to five if those guys enter. And then
okay, five. So then I would leave you with the rest basically to fill, depending
on. I would set the over under at Michigan getting three of these guys. And I you can't go 2.5 because I think it's probably three.
Yeah, but I think it's three too.
To me, you're getting Boyd. To me, you're getting Golden if he wants to play college. And then you have a decision to make on do you want Rosado and can you get John L. Best case scenario to me, you get four.
Yeah, kind of. If the Elijah Martin and John L. feelings that I have are true and they don't like each other, need Dusty to get both of them. Tear them down from the inside.
It won't happen. That's my read. It won't happen. We did this last time and it got combative, but a team of John L. Davis, Vlad Golden, Nick Boyd, Namari Burnett, and am I allowed to speculate two other guys that I think Michigan leads for?
Who are the two guys?
Danny Wolf and Connor Assijian.
Yeah. Yes.
Danny Wolf, Connor Assijian, John L. Davis, Vlad Golden, Nick Boyd, and Amari Burnett. That's your top six. Where does that team finish in the Big Ten?
Thing is, Big Ten's like kind of wide. Like, it's, I don't even know what it's going to look like. So, like, that could be a, that could be, I think that's a top eight team in the Big Ten.
Feels like a tournament roster, right? Like, because I think if you were concerned about the way FAU performed with John L. and Vlad last year, but then you add Danny Wolf to them, I think you feel pretty good about that, right?
Yeah, I'd say, like, I mean, who is the eighth place team in the Big Ten this season? Was it Michigan? It wasn't Michigan State, was it?
It was Michigan State, I believe.
Was it?
Yeah.
So then, yeah, but I think that's probably the, it's probably where I think they would be, maybe better than that.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, it remains to be seen, but like at bare minimum, you're like competitive with teams like Iowa and
that team that you just named. Will finish better in the Big Ten than Michigan State as it currently stands.
I don't know that I agree with that. I think they'd have a chance, but a lot of unknowns still to unpack.
Right. But the thing is, like, you know how you just name like targets and things like that? My one target is currently probably committing to Iowa State as we record this, and we got nothing else after that. So
we'll see. The last thing I want to say. We have to figure it out, like give Dusty time, because 2 weeks from now, this might look completely different than now. But if his starting point roster on paper that he wants mentally is John L. Davis, Danny Wolf, Vlad Golden, let's say he were able to lock those three up relatively early in the cycle and throw Connor Assijian in that, because it sounds like Connor Assijian wants to play Michigan, then you can kind of big game hunt a little. Because, like, on paper, John L., Vlad, and Danny Wolf, I think, all project as all Big Ten type guys, right? Like, that's – you're at least not lacking in star power. You mm-hmm. just need to fill around them with the right pieces. So, like, if that's his intended starting point that we think is relatively realistic in year one, I think you feel really, really good about it.
Yeah, prop. I go back to this. Projecting those guys is all big.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
10, is that fair when one of those guys, was Vlad All-American?
No, I'm just like, you're taking two different player of the years from smaller conferences.
Oh, yeah, you project those guys to be all Big Ten guys. Is Danny Wolf like a 7-foot rink mass?
He definitely could be. Like, I literally, before Michigan was even rumored with Danny Wolf, I thought Kansas was going to get him. Like,
I'm just trying to do like the I'm doing like the, you know, was this guy all Big Ten? Like what's the ceiling look like? But yeah, no, those are three.
I think as a prospect, Danny Wolf's ahead of Frank Mass for sure.
Yeah, they're three. Those are three all Big Ten caliber players. Yes,
even if it's like third team, it's something, and then the team would come down to what's around them from there.
Yes, yeah, yes. And caliber. Like I could see him on it. I could see him not on it. It's, yep,
agreed. Yeah. But all in all, I think good spot to be. Now we just got to wait and hopefully let Dusty be Dusty, do his thing.
Can I, the last thing I need a comment on the fact that that roster lost to a team that's being investigated for actively throwing games.
Tough look.
AAR
is a great coach. That's my, that's my only comment. That might be my next coach if Dusty doesn't work out. Okay. Speaking of coaches. There's rumors that Brad Underwood has talked to USC. USC moved on from Andy Enfield. Open spot, West Coast, on the beach, in the Big Ten. Do you buy these rumors at all?
I think Brad sunburns way too easily. to be honest with you, to be a West Coast. No, I'm messing around. You know, the depending on who you heard from and what you see, it was like there's been conversations between Brad or there's been conversations between Brad's agent, like Brad's camp. Now, the job as an agent is to always maximize your client's profit. That's the first thing as an agent, because your cut comes directly from whatever that coach is making. So if you can get him to a higher paying job, you're going to push that and negotiate unless you're told otherwise. Me and you have always been, you and I, for the grammar folks out there, I've always been of the belief that there's going to be people that are going to try to get Brad away from Illinois. And if they can drop big enough of a bag and give him other resources, that he would consider it. Even though I think he loves Illinois, I still think that he's a coach that is somebody, you know, higher paying maybe came along, he would leave for it. Now, I don't mean to misquote us, so you can tell me if I'm wrong. You and I have also been of the belief that Brad would leave for like a blue blood program. So I wouldn't put USC in that category, obviously. But like if a Kentucky came calling or a Kansas after Self came calling, I think they would give a call to Brad, and I think Brad would very, very much consider it. I would not be concerned about him leaving for USC. I couldn't see it, and that's just my own personal belief on it. But at the same time, like, an agent's got to do what an agent's got to do. Your commission comes from his contract. So if you can find him a higher-paying job, you got to go out there and at least, you know, have a conversation. Maybe push it past Brad at over lunch that you guys are having. Like, hey, I talked to some guys from USC. They want to pay you this. It's an option.
Brad's an all-time options guy. All-time. Like, all-time. With the way he builds his rosters, he's always got options. Always got options. With the way he evaluates his future career move, always got options. Like, just look at the path to how he got to Illinois. Includes a lot of options, right? Like, this isn't, I don't know. I don't want to say it shouldn't surprise people, because obviously if you're an Illinois fan, it should surprise you if you hear Brad Underwood off his most successful season at your program suddenly being rumored to be elsewhere. But like, let's not forget, Brad was at Stephen F. Austin for a whopping 3 years. And he was great there, by the way. Their very first year, they went 32-3, won 18 games in the conference. You know how many games Brad Underwood lost in conference play at Stephen F. Austin 3 years?
Seven.
One. He lost one game in conference in 3 years. That's how good he was. So after 3 years, of course, he's going to get a job, right? But still, pretty quick span. 3 years and you're gone. Oklahoma State. Ooh, nice. First big-time program. Wow, 20-13. Good turnaround for Oklahoma State. Peace. 1 year later. Like, that's – listen, I think in a way, it's pretty impressive he has stayed at Illinois. Like, it's impressive for Illinois to have kept him this long, because I think he's had a lot of success there, and he's always a name to me that teams should consider looking at. I think a lot of this is what you said, his agent fishing for money, and I think Brad deserves more money after this past season. So – that's part of it. But I also do want to go on record. I believe one day Brad Underwood will leave Illinois and everyone will be very surprised. I don't think it's going to be this offseason, but do you get that sense that I'm right? Like, there will be a day where Brad Underwood leaves Illinois for a job nobody expects.
Yeah, I would place a sizable amount of money that Brad is not the coach of Illinois in the next 3 to 5 years.
I'm not even putting that timeline on it. I just think, like, I think most Illinois fans have kind of settled in on, like, well, he would only leave us for a blue blood job. I don't get those vibes here.
So you think he would leave for UNC?
Would he leave for North Carolina? Or no, USC? That's what you asked for?
Yeah.
No, I don't right now. Because I think if Brad leaves, he wants to get out of the Big Ten. That would be my read. But there's a lot of other USC level jobs that could certainly be interested in Brad Underwood. Right now, the number one thing that I think is keeping Brad Underwood at Illinois beyond being happy at Illinois, which he is nobody seems to want Jerome Tang anymore.
If I'm Louisville, I would have for sure called Brad Underwood.
100%. He's a way better coach than Pat Kelsey.
And also, Sorry to Illini fans. Louisville got a bag. I think he would have considered leaving.
I don't think you need to use the word consider in that sentence.
You think he would have left?
It's Louisville. Like, that's, I think Dusty, again, and Dusty claims he chose Michigan over Louisville. Like, I don't know why I would have chosen Louisville. Like, I think that's one of the five best jobs in the sport. So unless you don't want to work one of the five best jobs in the sport, then okay. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I think there is this weird spot where, like, the biggest jobs don't seem to be interested in Brad Underwood anymore. Maybe this past season changes that because now he finally got the taste of March success. We'll see what he does this year. If he can reestablish how good he is in the portal and do it again with a brand new roster, there's going to be people calling. But, yeah, I think the one I've always had circled, I've said this before on the show, is whenever Jerome Tang left Kansas State, I think Brad would run through a door to go back to Kansas State. And seems like that might not be happening right now. So maybe that keeps him at Illinois longer.
That would hurt me as a Illinois fan.
Oh, for sure.
His next destination could hurt me. Like, I could comfort myself in him leaving for, like, even Louisville, any blue blood job, anything like that. Even, like, other certain schools. If he goes back to Kansas State, I would be in a bad place.
Yeah. Yeah, and look, this is just my belief. Obviously, he has ties to Kansas State, but my prediction is that one day Brad Underwood will leave Illinois for a Kansas State level school that will surprise a lot of people. But will that be this offseason? I don't think so. Will that be USC? I'd be stunned. I would be shocked. But credit to Brad Underwood and his agent for working the paychecks.
Last thing, you know, I'm a big time, like, honorary Trojan for reasons I can't really explain. I blame the Hazard and Itachi family for that, actually. I think Brad would kill it at USC.
Yeah, but we think Brad would kill it everywhere.
True. But, like, also Brad would look great in USC colors.
He doesn't look great in orange?
I'm not a big orange guy. I don't like the color.
Yeah, you've always disrespected orange. I think he looks great. Yeah. Orange. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. As I speak on the podcast where our main color is orange.
0 to 100, what is the chance that he is coaching USC next season? That's way too high. God, you're bad at percentages. This is so bad.
I was gonna say 8, but then I realized it's Brad. It's always got to be at 25 minimum.
That's just the baseline.
At 25 is the base. 25 is the baseline. That's the lowest.
I think there's a 2% chance Brad Underwood is coaching USC next season.
You just took me through the Brad exercise. I think you got to put it at 25. That's the baseline.
I'm holding strong. It's not going to be USC. No way. Final topic today. Just a quick Final Four coach trust rankings. Kevin Keats, Nate Oates, Matt Painter, Dan Hurley. I want you to put these coaches in order of how much you trust them to lead your team to a national championship. If they all had the same roster this season, just hand pluck, give them Michigan State's roster. Give all four of these coaches Michigan State's roster. Which one do you trust the most to win 2 games?
Trust Dan Hurley. 1, undisputed, is what it is. Argue with the mama. Number 2, I think I would go Keat Paint. I go Paint number 2. I just want to throw a little something in there. I go Paint at 2. This might be going against everything I love and think of what I said up to this point. Is it wrong to say I'll take Keats 3rd?
I'm going to need an explanation on it, but I'll allow it.
It's with any roster, right?
Yeah. Michigan State's roster for the exercise.
Yeah. Nate Oates needs a certain roster for his to work. Like, could you imagine Michigan State's season this year doing? I think that Nate Oates has a good, an amazing fastball. I don't think he can throw a curveball for shit. So, like, and I mean that respectfully because I love his fastball. But, like, the three are at the rim shot, and the style of play he has only works with a certain team, player personnel, how he approaches the game. That's not a slight to him. He does a great job of getting players that fit that. With that said, as I'm doing this argument in my head, I just picked Nate Oates behind a coach who didn't have a job 14 days ago if Isaac McNealy makes a free throw. And I'm really struggling with that internally.
Yeah. Yep. I can't process that you just did that. The correct answer for this exercise is Dan Hurley, one. You can put either Painter or Oates at two or three, and I won't.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Get upset at you, but they got to be 2-3 and Keats has to be 4. I would personally put Painter 2 because I believe in Matt Painter and I believe he's the next Bill Self in this sport. Nate Oates, I also believe in. Nate Oates, what I like about is there is a level of like lunatic too. I like that. He scares me in like an actual way. Like I think Oates has some very real like ghosts that are going to be uncovered one day, and that scares me. Like I think deep down, Dan Hurley, I think is actually like a good person and a family guy. He's just a freak competitor. I think Nate Oates is probably a horrible dude, but he's a good basketball coach. And I don't like that. You can't actually be like a really terrible person to me and be a great coach.
Yeah. Thoughts on that for another day.
Okay. Matt Painter though. Great guy. Also great coach. If Matt Painter beats Dan Hurley, he'll be my number one on this list a year from now.
Yeah.
Are you going to say something that's going to get us in trouble here? What are you about to say?
No, I just, I love basketball coaches. Just appreciate them as basketball coaches. Not all of them have to be role models. Let's just say that. And that has nothing to do with the four on this list. I'm just saying in general, like, no one's perfect in this world. You and I got stuff about us as well. Let's just say that.
Whoa. Okay. I mean, I don't like where you're going with that, but good Lord. Yeah. Also, like, there's levels to being bad people, though. Like, you can be like a kind of bad guy, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah. I'm saying there's like Chris Beard level. Like, okay, like, what are we doing? Like, let's not choke our wife. And then there's like Matt Painter, who I think like, I don't think he recycles, but like, that's not awful. But it's a skeleton. You should care about the earth.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you recycle?
Let's end the show. One big thing presented by Bigby.
Well, on that topic, I love recycling because it actually saves the earth, but recycling is a really big hassle, I must say. Like when you're at your wit's end, you're having a bad day and you got to like separate or break down a box or take out recycling, like that kind of puts you over the edge sometimes. So like shout out to Earth, but also like we need to come up with a way to make recycling easier. Like trash and recycling go in the same bin or something. And whatever happens at the landfill, they just separate it or something.
Okay. Wasn't expecting an anti-recycling tirade from you, but here we are. My one big thing is I've waited long enough. I'm ready to say this out loud for the first time in years. The Detroit Tigers are back. We're so back. And this is the once a decade thing where I care about baseball again. I know it's exciting.
Can I get back in?
Yeah, you can get back in. We're accepting applications. We are submitting people through. I think we're back. I think, dare I say, Detroit sports is on the verge of being all the way back because what we just saw happen with the Lions.
Pistons.
Yeah, I know. But what we just saw happen with the Lions, I think the Wings and the Tigers are a year away from that. Like, this is the – you know how the year before the Lions, like, won a bunch of games late and showed life? Mm-hmm. That's this year for Detroit. They're going to have this, like, overachieving feel-good, ooh, we're kind of fun again. And then next year we're going to be like, holy shit, these dudes are some stone-cold killers. Like, everybody in the rotation is, like, 26 and under. Everybody in the lineup is, like, 24. We got dudes. We just got dudes. We got a manager that finally realizes he has dudes. I love it.
I was just gonna say, like, who's our rallying troop here? Like, who's our Dan Campbell? Who's like our
piece out? We got to get behind Hinch, who, let's not forget, Hinch is a winner. He's a killer. He cheated.
Okay, who's our Panay Sewell? Who's our heart and soul?
Our best player is Skubal, for sure. Tarik Skubal is like, he's going to be an all-star ace pitcher for a decade. He's a freak. Honestly, the entire pitching staff right now, like Reese Olson's a young dude who has nasty shit to him right now. Matt Manning's not even in the rotation. He's looked really good at times. Casey Mize is making his debut tonight, and I'm excited to see him because he was supposed to be the face of the franchise. Now he's our fifth guy in our rotation because our rotation's that nasty. I feel really good about that. And then offensively, like, Torque and Riley Green were supposed to be the stars, and they're settling in as, like, good, not great players, which is okay. But we have, like, this collection of good, not great. You know, like, Cary Carpenter, dog. Parker Meadows hitting leadoff, freak. All these dudes are young. Colt Keith making his debut looks real good right now. Like, we have six out of our nine guys are, like, 25 or younger and could be here for a decade and are legitimately good players now.
So, okay, last thing, because I'm in on all that.
Yeah.
Do we have one young bull that we're embracing that we need to let rock? Like, I know, was it Max Clark that we drafted? Do we have one of them?
Yeah, we still have a very good farm system. But Max Clark is probably years away. But there are two or three guys at the minor league level, Max Clark being the biggest name, that are like the future still.
I need a 21-year-old or a 20-year-old to rally around.
Yeah, Clark's probably the only guy who could become that. But to me, like, those guys were, these last couple of years, it was Riley Green. And, Parker Meadows became a dude. Like, with all those dudes are now at the majors for the most part, though. And they're hooping. Like, Riley Green's really good. Parker Meadows looks awesome. Torque still doesn't look that great, but he can slug. Like, we got dudes. We're back. We're 4-0. This team rocks.
Javi Baez sucks.
Yeah, we got to get rid of him quickly. Like, we got to – he's like the
– He's hot.
He's the Okuda. Yeah, the Okuda. Like, just – that didn't work, and we need to cut bait.
Yeah, actually, Hawk was good. I don't want to spec Hawk. He's an Okuda.
Yeah, I think he's Okuda, and we need to get rid of him quickly. But yeah, they will. Okay, that's it. That's the show. Thanks for watching. We'll be back tomorrow.
Eat him up, Tigers.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.